following is a repeat show that was previously broadcast on Unity FM.
Welcome back. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us right here on Unity FM 93.5 FM. This is our weekly health and wellbeing program. What shape are you in? My name is Beresford Dawkins. I'm the Community Development Manager for Birmingham and Solihull Mental Health Trust. Thank you for joining us. And if you've been listening, thank you for listening. And you would know that we've got guests, Ranu and also Jazz. Ranu heads up the transformation program, which is making major changes within Birmingham Solihull Mental Health Trust. And also we've got Jazz with us, who heads up the Experts by Experience and many others. I'm sounding a little bit distracted simply because we've got a caller online. I'm going to go to the caller in about 20 seconds. So, Jazz and Renu, just to let you know, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, thank you for joining us today.
Hello, hi.
Hi.
Thank you for the invitation.
No problem at all. Can you just give us your name and then tell us how can we help you today?
Yeah, so my name's Dee Walcott. I run a health and wellbeing company called Motivate Me Tees. We support vulnerable children, adults and families, and the reason for the call today is just to really ask, you know, kind of go through a couple of questions that I had concerning the whole integrated care therapy services and why they're relevant and so forth.
Okay, just bear with us, caller. We're just trying to patch you into our guests so that they can hear as well.
Absolutely.
Just bear with us 1 second. 0121 772 8892 if you want to join in. We're just going to ask our caller if she could repeat her question again, just so that our callers on our Zoom line can hear as well. So, Dee, sorry to interrupt. Can you just come back again and ask us that question again?
Yeah, so the main purpose of my call was to find a, first of all, champion what you're doing, because I don't want it to be a case of just jumping straight in and it all be negative, because it isn't. There are some really positive things that are happening in communities and in society, and to also ask about the validity of the integrated care therapy service and why they're relevant and why I think they're needed.
Okay, so just to repeat for our so our guest can hear, it's just about the integrated care. She's asking, why is it relevant? Why is it even needed?
Yeah, so I guess there's a couple of things, really. So in terms, when we look at mental health presentations, it's very rare that it's just mental health. There's usually other things that are around that are impacting someone's mental health. And I think one of the key things about the integrated care system and that approach is saying not just looking at one item in a silo, and making sure that where service users need support from something else, whatever that might be, that actually the system is wrapping around them rather than them having to navigate to all the different organisations to get that support. So that's why that integrated way of working is so important. So, for example, if you've got service users coming in and absolutely there's potentially they've had a lapse in their mental health, but actually they need some support with potentially their employment, they need support from education, they need support with their physical health as well, they shouldn't have to go to multiple different places to obtain that support. That's why this integrated working is so crucial to this new way of working.
And just to add on to that, multiple different agencies then have multiple different referral forms, assessments. What ends up happening is people end up repeating their story to Lord only knows how many different people, and that in itself is exhausting. So exactly what Renu said, that integrated system will make things easier, because that kind of patient service user journey will be easier without having to kind of like go to a place and then have like an assessment or somebody making a referral and then being bounced to another place, then being bounced to another place. It's removing all those barriers and all those obstacles, because actually what often happens as well is people then disengage. Because if you're unwell and you're feeling particularly vulnerable, chances are you're not going to have the strength and the energy to kind of like, you know, be able to navigate all of that. And that's kind of the point I was making earlier, that as a system, we don't make it easy for people to get help when they need it. So that is the beauty of the integrated model. I think, as Renu said, like, honestly, we're not there yet. You know, this is a 3-year program for the transformation program. We have a lot of work to do, but equally, we've made a lot of progress thus far as well.
Is that helpful, Dee?
I thought it was fantastic, and I champion that in terms of, you know, we've had significant changes in the way that we communicate through, obviously, throughout the pandemic and so forth. We've had shifts in, you know, we're moving away from individuals moving away from kind of seeking out the medical mode, to the alternative treatment. So they both are needed. They're both are needed, and it's just about them working, I suppose, what would be really highly effective is for them to talk to each other and work together. So, for example, I don't know, maybe you've got sort of like counselling, and then you've got the other sort of therapies. It's a way of introducing them to, and actually working together, because we've, you know, for me, we've got significant numbers of individuals that need support and are looking for support, and it's about them of coming together so we can do this effectively and quickly as well.
And as someone in the community, MD, and really appreciate you calling, and even the programs that you're running, is this something that, from a community perspective, we should be promoting more?
Absolutely, because my next question was going to be, how many people actually know what an integrated care system is? And that could be whether it be individuals in the community, or whether it's professionals, whether it's GPs. I wonder what the percentage is of, if we were to do a poll of how many people actually know what that pertains, what does that involve? How can we get, those are the questions that are kind of, I'm thinking at the moment.
Renu, we're 18 months in, and Dee's already asking, how many people have you engaged with? How many people know about this program?
Yeah.
And I guess that's a hard question to answer.
Sorry, yeah. Beresford.
Go ahead.
It's such a good question. And I think the thing is that we're doing at the moment is we're building the, and this is the analogy that we use, we're building the aeroplane whilst flying it. You know, we're really trying to get these services embedded. But absolutely, there is more that needs to be done and is being done about communicating the model. I guess one of the things that we've been quite cautious with is that we've been doing a lot of testing in terms of rolling out the new system and the new service before we've kind of gone out and promoted. But we are lucky now. We're in a position now where our 5 localities do have some service provision. So I think the next step for us is about how do we make sure that we are doing that further engagement and communicating what's on offer. Now, Jazz in particular has been doing a raft of promotional materials, things that will that you should shortly start seeing within your GP surgeries where services are live. We're also doing work in terms of podcasts. We're doing social media. And we're also looking to get some animation done as well, which you'll be able to access through a website, which we're shortly hoping to launch as well. So absolutely, we understand that that is still a gap. And I think there are still areas that you know, don't understand the programme and the service that's coming on board. And actually, we need to do better. So I think that is definitely one of the areas that we're aware of that we need to continue to work on.
And I think some of that has been because different areas of Birmingham and Solihull went live, as we call it, with this new service at different times. So we needed to not do a big splash, because what it would have then done is raised expectations for people in certain areas where that service wasn't yet available. So we have held back on that. And just to add to kind of like what Renu said, all of the communications that we're doing around the program and the new service and this integrated way of working has been very much informed and led by our experts by experience. So again, it's not us as a system of professionals putting communications out and doing that. It's very much being led by people with lived experience of mental illness, down to things like what language do we use in the leaflets, and what language are we going to use, let's say, like within videos and with podcasts, to make sure that actually we're talking a language that people understand and that feels inclusive. That because one of the common things with kind of like mental health is often service users feel that the language that health professionals speak is a very different language. They use lots of acronyms and abbreviations, and it's medicalized and it's jargonistic. So our experts by experience have been really key in helping us co-design and co-produce those communications. And that's really, really important to make sure, again, that that service user voice is absolutely essential to that work.
Brilliant. Dee, I want to thank you for calling in today, because
we've got
another message, and yeah, it was an excellent question. So thank you for joining us today, and I hope you got the answer that you needed.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thanks, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
0121 772 8892 if you want to join in the call. We're talking about new integrated care system that's been going since April 2022, and we've got our experts by experience and also the lead program lead, Renu and Jazz, are both with us from Birmingham Solihull Mental Health Trust. I've just got another message, would you believe? It's come from a Sharon Sunderland. It's by email, and says, let Birmingham Solihull Transformation team know that they're doing an amazing job making mental health services accessible to primary care. So you're getting some shout-outs from the public.
Oh, that's so kind. Thank you so much. It's what spurs us on, to be honest.
Absolutely does, yeah. It does. Thank you. Sorry, did you say it was Sharon?
Yeah, Sharon Sandland.
Sharon, thank you so much. Genuinely appreciate that. And the more we hear that, the more it drives us to kind of continue wanting to do that work and continually making it better. Equally, we're also open to the challenges and the negative things that people might have, because this is big and it's complex. And I said this morning, didn't I, Renu, that actually if this was easy, it feels like we wouldn't be doing it right, because changing systems is never meant to be easy, so it needs to be challenging. But thank you for that comment. That's really lovely. Thank you.
And just going back to Dee's question, which is about how many people connect, it means for me, and the fact that we're connecting with communities in the way that we're doing it, we need to invite you back on, just so that you can say, actually, over X amount and period of time, we know that we've connected with so many people. Would you be up for that?
Absolutely, Beresford. We'll be happy to come back and provide updates.
Okay, fantastic. So I want to just push us a little bit further now into the collaborative piece, because I know that must be certainly collaboration is important, and that in itself is a diverse piece of work in lots of different ways. When you're talking about you're working with the police, you're working with the city council, and you're working with patients as well. And also organisations like Motivate that we've just heard from. How challenging has that been? And clearly it's making a difference, but how challenging has it been?
I think, let's make no bones about it, I think any sort of collaborative working is incredibly tough. I think we've been lucky in the sense that all partners that we're working with, we do all have the same end goal in mind, which is, I think, what has been fantastic. But I think it's been incredibly challenging at times, because expectations differ. And I think managing those expectations has been incredibly difficult. But I think what we've done within the programme is just be very, very clear and open and honest about keeping the service users at the heart of everything that we do. Yeah. So we haven't tried to look at any of the work that we've done from like looking at individual organisational kind of priorities or preference. The way that we've done it is working with Jazz and our EBEs to say, right, you tell us what we need to do. Tell us and show us where are the biggest issues. What are the points that we keep on missing? And that's why, and I know Jazz mentioned it previously, our service users, they're not just service, they're our partners when we do this work. They're sat side by side with us when we're developing the services. So I think that's been the really key thing for us. First of all, that all the partners that have come on board, we've all got the same goal in mind. Whilst it's been challenging, absolutely, our service users are the ones that keep us grounded and focused on reaching that end goal, is probably what I would say. And some of the things that have been quite challenging are some of the real basic things like information sharing. You know, what system do we put information, how do we share it? And what we've tried to do within the programme is look for those kind of really innovative ideas to try and move through some of those barriers, I would say. But I think everyone being on the same page has been crucial.
And how is the...
What would you say, Jazz, in terms of
that? Go on, Jazz.
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with you, Renu. I think... we can understand to some degree why some organisations or some departments may find it challenging to change, because if you're always used to doing things in a certain way, there's kind of comfort within that, or there's some kind of security within that. And then when you have a massive program like this come along and saying to people, actually, we're going to change the way that we do things, people can become a little bit entrenched in their positions, or feel like, why does it need to change? And I think one of the many good things that as a program team, but also as wider colleagues, that we've been able to do is communicate that vision, as Renny was just saying, for service users. So this is absolutely for our service users. It's for our communities. And I would add in, especially certainly from kind of like my own lived experience and kind of like, you know, my own kind of like background, it's for those service users who've had a rough time using the system. Like, that's why it has to change, because we can't keep perpetuating that. So I think being able to communicate that vision helps to kind of get people on board. The nuts and bolts of it is always the challenging bit, because we're working across different providers, across different organizations who have their own different ways of doing things that, like I say, they've probably been doing for years. Trying to unpick that and have a consistent way is always going to be the messy bit. But as Renu always says, and I've adopted this phrase from Renu, we love a challenge.
Yeah.
We do. We love a challenge. Like, we don't want it to be too easy, because, as I said before, if it's too easy, we're not doing it right. So we love that challenge of trying to get it better.
And what I love about that challenge is, I want to talk to you about digital and data systems. Because in the way we've talked about physically making the outcomes better for patients, the digital systems are really a key part of that process, because there's nothing better than you, or nothing worse than when, say, I live in Borsall Heath and I have an accident whilst I'm at work in, say, Great Bar, and then I go to, I don't know, Sandwell Hospital, and I have to keep repeating my sort of medical history. How important is data systems in the way that we're doing this collaborative work, and how is that going?
Oh gosh, it's so crucial. It's like the corner, like one of the cornerstones of this piece of work is trying to tackle exactly what you've just said there, Beresford, about having access to information in a timely way, avoiding service users repeating their stories, making sure actually when there's been a single one assessment, that's it. It should only ever be that one assessment.
Because that is so frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh God, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And the refer, you know, that whole referral process, we're going to refer you here, and can you retell? So for us, I suppose looking at that, there's a few things. First of all, within the program, we're looking at developing that single referral process, that trusted assessment. So when someone has decided that that's what you need, that is what you will get. And then obviously when you're going through and receiving interventions and treatment, obviously we'll continue to review that. That's, you know, that's a given, but not having to retell your story. There's an obligation on us when we're delivering a service to have done our background, looked at the information. So there's that piece of work there about making sure that there's not that story retelling, you know, and re-traumatizing where it's not appropriate. So that's the first thing. Then the other thing, the real tricky one, absolutely, that interoperability of data systems. Now, I wish I could say like we could wave a wand on it and it would be sorted. But and I think one thing that gives me some reassurance is that it's not just us. This is one of those national conundrums. However, in BSOL, Birmingham Solid, we're lucky in the fact that we have taken steps forward. So we are developing and working on a shared care file, which means, like you just mentioned there, Beresford, if you're going out where you've been seen in a maybe a different hospital, and in terms of your physical health, actually the blood reports and things like that. So there is work already being undertaken in terms of shared care. In addition, what we have done between ourselves, so Birmingham and Solihull and Forward Thinking Birmingham, who's mental health providers, is we've made sure that we're using one single electronic patient record for our primary care teams. So actually that's already avoiding, right, we're going to have to go on here and go on here. So there's already some of those green shoots of work that are taking place to improve that data sharing and data interoperability. But I would definitely say it's not something that will probably ever stand still, I have to say, with data sharing, with that data interoperability. I think it's something we have to continue to work on and continue to get better at, is what I would say.
Brilliant, Jez.
Yeah, no, I'd echo everything that Renny just said then. I'd also say that's probably one of the most challenging parts of the programme is to get systems to talk to each other or adopt a kind of system-wide, kind of consistent system, because that is difficult. I'll just kind of highlight just the impact of what it's like when you are referred into a different organisation who then don't have access to your notes and you're then repeating your story. And I think what Renu said is absolutely like bang on the button. It's re-traumatising people. If you've already kind of like gone through the trauma of having to tell somebody what's happened or what's happening and how you're struggling, and then someone says to you, actually, I'm going to refer you here. And I'll own this as a service user who has been referred to different organizations. I used to go with the hope and expectation that the organization I'm going to go and see will at least have read my notes, will at least have some idea as to kind of like what my symptoms are, what the presenting kind of issues are, what my background is, what the trauma might be, all that kind of stuff. And it's so disempowering then when somebody says, right, tell me what's wrong then.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you should know what's wrong because I've been referred from this system. And it kind of ties back into kind of what I said earlier. That starts then to make people lose trust and lose faith in the system. And that bit, especially for me, from a service user perspective, we have to stop doing that. We have to stop making people jump through hoops, have multiple referrals, have multiple assessments, have their story being repeated here, there and everywhere. There's something about, you know what, if I've told you my story once, I need you guys as a system to believe that and action it. Because I've done my bit, I've told you what it
and
is.
And that's
that
just good quality care, isn't it? Just to
absolutely,
know a
absolutely,
little bit about yeah. the patient that's coming in. That's not too yeah. much to ask, is it really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And given that we're moving away, and I really do believe that Birmingham and Solihull are leading the way nationally in some of that work. Part of the vision and the dream is to scale it up, isn't it? It's to scale it and make it a huge part of this whole NHS system. And we know also that there's challenges around resources.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about new integrated care systems and scaling up, is that going to affect the amazing work that we're doing at the moment, you think?
So I think, so in terms of scaling up, I think this is why we've adopted the approach that we have adopted. So Jazz mentioned earlier, we didn't go for a big bang approach here in Birmingham and Solihull. We did a very much locality by locality, rolling out, testing, bringing in resource locality by locality. And we're continuing to do that because what we want to try and do is build the capacity within each of the areas, allow service users to start feeling the benefits and continue to grow that way. Now, there are massive issues in terms of resourcing, and it's not just for us here locally. It's a national conundrum, and it's a national problem. And I think one of the things that we have done, though, within BSOB, across Birmingham and Solihull, and across partners, is to look at innovative ways to try and attract different types of roles to build our teams. So this year, we've got health and wellbeing roles that have been brought in. It's the first year that they've been brought in. They're currently going through their training, and they will be such crucial workforce, not just within primary care, but also within the community mental health teams as well. So I think the challenge of resourcing will continue, but I think what we need to be doing is thinking of innovative ways to respond to filling those roles. And also, it's not just about having a one size fits all within our workforce either. We need to make sure that we've got allied health professionals. We need to make sure that we've got VCSE colleagues around. It's not just one person that holds all that knowledge. It is about that multidisciplinary team. So that's the approach that we've taken, bringing in those innovative roles, building the model slowly, locality by locality. So it sticks, you know, making sure that those foundation, that scaffolding's in place. And that's why we're doing it as we are, step by step, locality by locality.
Brilliant.
And I'm just going to jump on that bandwagon. Sorry, Beresford, just because it's a pertinent point in terms of what Renu made.
Yep.
Recruitment. So we have a number of roles, as Renu said, and we've been able to successfully appoint to a number of roles across the primary care teams. We also do have a number of outstanding roles as well. And I will make this plea to anyone who's listening, who's interested in joining us. Please have a look at the roles that we have on NHS Jobs. That's the main website to have a look at. And please do apply if you're interested. One of the things that we really want to do, because everything that we're doing is about transforming, I mean the clue's in the title really, but it's also about transforming the workforce as well. So we are looking to attract people from different, whether it's different kind of career paths, whether it's different skill sets and experiences within the program team that we have.
I'm going to need some information of where people get in touch with you, because we're coming right to the end of the program, would you believe? I've got less than 40 seconds.
All right. So if anybody's got any queries, please do get in touch. So it's bsmhft.longtermplan@nhs.net.
Brilliant. And is there a number or anything?
If you could use the email, just at least then we can make sure that you get responses. But thanks so much.
Brilliant. Absolutely. So from the transformation team and Birmingham Solihull, we really want to thank you, Renu, and also you, Jazz, for sharing with us today. I'm definitely going to invite you back. You've done an amazing job.
Please do.
Continue to do the great work that you're doing. I also want to thank Sharon for joining us, sending us that text message, and also Dee for calling in. Really appreciate your question. It was a fantastic question. Folks, see you this time next week. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.